Good afternoon. This is 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, May 21st, 2021. On today's program, help with rent for people reeling from a year of the pandemic. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has that story in just a few minutes. In our second half hour, we turn the lights back on in the Furman Garner Performance Studio. For the first time since February 2020, musicians came inside our studio to perform, vaccinated, of course. Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis talks with and listens to Opal Agafia and Michael Shembri. After today's Ozarks on Science Friday, it feels as though the United States has turned a corner in the COVID-19 pandemic, but it will not be over until the rest of the world has equitable access to vaccines. Join Ira Flatow on Science Friday for an inside look into the massive effort to vaccinate the globe. Plus, the launch angle revolution in baseball, and a trial of opioid distributors. Hear more today on Science Friday beginning at 1, right after Ozarks at Large on KUAF. Arkansas's new cases of COVID-19, number 256 for the most recent 24-hour testing period. The Arkansas Department of Health notes 3 new deaths from the virus and increases in both hospitalizations and active cases. There are 15 more people fighting COVID-19 in Arkansas hospital beds today than this time yesterday, and 256 more active cases. The new numbers came out just a few hours after Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson announced the state's emergency health declaration will expire on May 30th. The governor did caution Arkansans that the pandemic and the dangers associated with the virus have not ended. New nonstop service from Northwest Arkansas National Airport to New Orleans, San Antonio, and Tampa will begin later this spring and summer. Breeze Airways, a new airline, will begin the direct flights from XNA to Tampa in June. Flights to New Orleans and San Antonio start in July. All 3 routes will operate Thursday through Monday. Breeze Airways is being launched by the founder of other airlines, including JetBlue. Arkansas 3rd District Congressman Steve Womack will have a Democratic opponent in 2022. Lauren Mallett-Hayes of Farmington says she'll seek the Democratic Party's nomination. Mallett-Hayes is married with 3 children. She works at Washington Regional Medical Center and specializes in treating patients following traumatic brain injury, stroke, neurocognitive disorders, and head and neck cancer. On her campaign website, she outlines her priorities on healthcare, education, and jobs. The Razorback softball team opens play in the NCAA regionals today, weather permitting, playing Manhattan at Bogle Park. Also playing in the regional are Stanford and South Dakota State. The team emerging from the double elimination regional will advance to the super regionals next weekend. Trail Mix, part of the Walton Arts Center's Artisphere Festival, is scheduled for tonight from 5 to 7 along the Frisco Trail in Fayetteville. Musicians scheduled to perform for free include Papa Rap, Melody Pond, Block Street Hot Club, Smoking the Mirror, and NWA Ballet Theater. There is a 40% chance of showers tonight, lows from the mid to upper 60s. Tomorrow, 20% chance of rain with highs from 80 to 85. Sunday, slight chance of rain with highs from 80 to 85. This is Ozarks at Large. The Department of Human Services is now accepting applications for the new Arkansas Rent Relief Program, which offers financial assistance to renters and landlords feeling an impact from the COVID-19 pandemic. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more.
Applications opened at 7 a.m. Monday, and hundreds of Arkansans applied within the first 2 days. Gavin Lesnick, Deputy Chief of Communications for DHS, says by Tuesday afternoon, 500 applications had been submitted, and another 1,200 people had started the process.
We feel like we're off to a really strong start, but the challenge will be to keep that going and make sure that we get the word out and that everybody who is eligible for this knows about it. Because we don't want somebody who can get these funds to not apply just because they weren't aware of it.
The Arkansas Rent Relief Program offers financial help to pay overdue and upcoming rent and utilities for eligible renters. Landlords who have tenants unable to pay their rent because of lost income or the COVID-19 pandemic may also apply. Once an application is approved, money would go directly to landlords or utility companies. Lesnick says the $173 million provided by the Federal Emergency Rental Assistance Program through the U.S. Department of the Treasury will be distributed on a first-come, first-served basis.
So, you know, if you are submitting an application now, those are going to be processed before one that would be submitted later. We don't have a deadline yet. The effort is to get through the funds. We have a goal of obligating 65% of these funds by September. So we have a few months to see how that goes. And we'll be tracking it really closely. You know, we're in the initial days. We'll have a better idea on the demand, you know, as we get a little bit further into it. But it does not have a deadline. We'll keep going until this money is exhausted.
The Arkansas Rent Relief Program is being offered in addition to other rental assistance programs that already exist. However, Lesnick says the requirements are a little bit different, and it's likely more people will be eligible for this program than others. Officials estimate thousands of Arkansans may benefit from this new relief effort.
It's a hard number to know precisely. So the estimate that we had going in was roughly 49,000 people in Arkansas, but that is just an estimate. So, you know, it may be different than that number, but that's the number we had going in.
Arkansans may qualify for the program if they meet income eligibility based on the area median income in their county and the number of people in their home. And someone in their home qualifies for unemployment benefits, experienced a decrease in income during the pandemic, or suffered significant financial hardship due to the pandemic. Qualified applicants can use the funding to pay overdue rent plus up to 5% of late fees dating back to April 1st, 2020, as well as utility bills for gas, water, and electricity. The program does not cover overdue phone or internet bills. Funding can also be used to pay future rent owed through December 31st of this year. Renters can apply for up to 3 months of future rent at a time. Up to 15 months' rent may be covered between April 1st, 2020 and December 31st, 2021. Benton, Pulaski, and Washington counties were also awarded federal funding for rent and utility relief, so Arkansans living in these counties are asked to apply directly through their county programs. Once the counties exhaust their funding, the Arkansas Rent Relief Program will fund eligible renters in those counties.
Our system is designed, if we get applications from any one of those three counties, we will direct them to their systems. So that will be outside of DHS up until the point where, you know, they run out of money. And if we have additional money at that point, then it'll be open to them.
The length of time it takes to distribute funding once an application is approved is something Lesnick says DHS officials will have a better idea of soon as they work through initial applications.
However, in a broad sense, I can say we think it'll be pretty quick. You know, the variable is going to be that all of the information we need is submitted. So that is what's most likely to slow down the process, is if, you know, there's a certain document that, you know, was missing that we need to go back and add, or you know, anything like that potentially can slow things down just a bit. But if the application is completed and the materials are there, we think it will be a pretty quick process to, you know, review it and then, you know, ultimately get the money sent out to the landlord or the utility company.
Arkansans can call 855-RENT-ARK if they have questions or need help submitting their application. Representatives are available from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Assistance can be provided in English, Spanish, or Marshallese. The call center received 522 calls on Monday and 890 calls Tuesday. DHS also has partnered with community organizations who can help submit your application. A list of those organizations as well as applications are available at ar.gov/rentrelief. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his office in Fort Smith is Michael Tilley with Talk Business and Politics. Happy still wet May, Michael.
Of course, we'll be hoping for some of this probably in a few weeks or in another month. But anyway, it's sure as hell is wet now.
It is. Let's talk about some of the things that have happened in the last week. I want to start with a canopy trail that sounds interesting and comes with a price tag. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, a price tag, definitely. Well, first of all, I guess I had never, maybe I have and just forgotten, but I'd never heard of a canopy trail, although it sounds very interesting. But what's been proposed, and this is down along the riverfront, just north of downtown Fort Smith. It's on some land. The city of Fort Smith purchased several years ago, more than 2 years ago, about 330 acres from the Kansas City Railroad. And they plan to develop that into trails and use it for other kind of amenities. And so on part of that property, they've proposed, it's less than a mile. It's 0.85 mile long canopy trail, and it's elevated. It's up into the trees. It'll be built so that it'll accommodate walkers, runners, bikes. I guess if you're brave enough to ride a bike up in a path along the tree, I'm sure it's got all the proper safety measures. But and it would be one of the longest, or it would be the longest in the country. But it does, as you said, come with a price tag, almost $5 million, $4.84 million. It's been proposed right now only just to the city's Parks and Rec Commission, and part of the proposal would, or part of the plan would include soliciting corporate, you know, business sponsorships to help reduce that cost. But the city could potentially have the funds through its part of the quarter cent that goes to the Parks Department now. But it's been interesting to see the comments on this. I think not that comments are a clear indicator of overall sentiment, but most of the comments, people are supportive of it. Those that aren't, it's often, hey, I like the idea, but good grief, that's a hefty price tag. But you'd have to think, if it is a unique to the country, it could attract a lot of visitors, and it would be just north also of the Marshall's Museum and that kind of area. So I think city folks, some of the business folks behind it, are hoping it's not only a good amenity for residents, but it'd be a tourism draw as well.
Yeah, based on my reading of your coverage at talkbusiness.net, it seems as though the idea is, no one's denying that this is a hefty price tag, the idea being it's an investment that will pay off over time.
Right. Yeah, Bobby Aldridge, who was tasked, the engineer tasked to come up with this plan, he's owns Frontier Engineering. He even included in his presentation, he included a study from the Walton Family Foundation that showed how much the bike, the trail development and the bike tourism has benefited the Northwest Arkansas economy. So I think that study found that the economic benefit through to 2017 had been about $137 million. I don't think they're saying that will be the economic impact here. It's just an example of the tourism draw. But again, I think if enough corporate sponsorship could come up to help reduce the cost, I think I could see the Fort Smith Board of Directors getting on board, and the city possibly even moving some of its parks budget money around. I think they need to be careful. They're already, they struggle somewhat to keep up with maintenance on the parks that they've expanded
right
so far. So they'll need to be careful of that. But right now, it just seems like there's some positive momentum behind it. Now, again, it's just an initial presentation. It could change. I'm sure it'll be tinkered with somewhat, but it's certainly an interesting concept.
Well, we have spent some time over the past year or two talking about Fiona Hills Golf, Country Club and Golf Course. There's an effort to try to make it still be a golf course. It looks like that's over. It's not happening. It's not going to be a golf course.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine it coming back to life at this point. It's been an interesting soap opera. I think, you know, this goes back many years when Lance Beattie, the developer who has redeveloped a lot of property, including the, you know, Masonic Temple in downtown Fort Smith, he once had a plan to restore the club and the course, and that fell through. And then David Millay, the owner, essentially just closed it on December 31st, 2018. There's a group of local investors, folks that live on the course that thought they had a deal with Millay. That fell through, and then Millay began to move to try to sell some of the course property to adjacent homeowners. Well, that required what's called a replatting or reuse approval. The Fort Smith Planning Commission didn't approve it, rejected it. They took it to the Fort Smith board, and the board, with a 4-2 vote, approved it, approved the replatting, which essentially, any golfer out there understands, once you sell a part of the fairway or whatever, that's pretty much the end of a course. You know, I mean, you would have to play over somebody's property or around. I mean, it would just make it difficult. So
you try to keep those sliding glass doors away from a tee box, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think it gets a little personal. Can I play through your living room, ma'am?
Right.
Makes it difficult. But so they've approved the replatting. David Millay, in the reporting during the meeting, Millay, it was reported that Millay has, I think, around 150 pieces of property out of around 280 that he says are under contract. We've tried to talk to Millay. He has been, to say difficult is an understatement. He's been very, let's just say, aggressive in making it clear he didn't want to talk, doesn't want to talk to media. So we've had a difficult time trying to get his perspective, his viewpoint on why he's been unwilling to sell it. Through an attorney, he essentially said golf courses are not profitable. More than 800 have closed around the country, and he's not going to sell it to another group and then also fail, and he'd be back in the same, you know, position 2-3 years later. So he's just decided to sell the course property. Now, what he's going to do with the club, again, we don't know.
Right.
An interesting asset, has an interesting view of the city. I'm sure it'd be very attractive to someone for an office space or whatever. But again, Mr. Millay has made it clear he doesn't want to talk to the media, so we're unsure what he would do with that property.
All right. Finally, the entire state held school board elections this past week. Some school districts had millage questions. Some had candidates. There was a candidate in Fort Smith, the incumbent, who lost. What can you tell us about this week's election?
Yeah, well, Bill Hainsworth, who was really kind of the business community candidate, former manager of the Ream plant in Fort Smith, and he was a school board president. He was somewhat popular on the board. He lost in a bid. Matt Blaylock, who's head of Blaylock Heating and Air Conditioning and Plumbing Services here in Fort Smith, jumped in the race. There were three positions that are up, and that was the only position that had a contested race. But Blaylock captured, which was a surprise to a lot of people. Now, there were just 1,027 votes in that election, which is frankly very sad for a Fort Smith school board election. But there was just 1,027 votes, and Mr. Blaylock got 63.4%. So very large margin of victory, which I'd say is very surprising. Hainsworth, for whatever reason, wasn't able to convince enough folks that he had done a good job in that his first term. And there hadn't been a lot of controversies. I mean, Hainsworth has been the school board president as the, you know, school district has moved to expand at, you know, enacting this $120 million millage package. So a lot of that's gone up. There's been a lot of positive news, positive vibe about the school district. So again, big surprise that he lost.
Finally, speaking of schools, it's graduation night, right, in Fort Smith. And what a difference a year makes. You're not having to wonder if it's going to be in July or August or if it's going to happen at all. It will happen.
Right. Right. Well, if the weather doesn't prevent it. So, yes, it will happen. And several hundred kids will go off to another future, including my youngest daughter, who is heading off to college. So I'm not sure how I feel about that. So those 18 years kind of flew by.
Yeah, I imagine. Michael Tilley is with Talk Business and Politics. You can read about everything we've talked about and much more at talkbusiness.net. Michael, talk to you next Friday.
All right, yeah. Stay dry, brother.
I will. Every story, performance, and interview you hear on Ozarks at Large is shareable through social media or email. There are links with each story, performance, and interview at ozarksatlarge.com. Those links allow you to share the stories. This is Ozarks at Large. Landowners in the Illinois River and Beaver Reservoir watersheds are eligible to receive help with the cost of repairing or replacing failing septic systems. This is because of a new program launched this spring. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports.
The Illinois River Watershed Partnership has initiated the first-of-a-kind program in Arkansas to assist rural property owners with problem septic systems. We met with Morgan Keeling, Community Relations Manager, and Program Manager Matt Taylor at Illinois River Watershed Partnership headquarters in Cave Springs, hiking to a lakeside picnic area to talk.
So right now we are sitting at the pavilion at the Illinois River Watershed Sanctuary, and we are out by Lake Keith,
which is a spring-fed lake draining into the Illinois River, a watershed many private rural landholders with septic systems live on.
My name is Matt Taylor. I work for the Illinois River Watershed Partnership. I am the Septic Tank Remediation Program Manager. A septic tank is an on-site wastewater treatment device or system. So it's there are three components to a septic tank. The tank itself, which does the pretreatment, meaning separates the solids and the scum from the water so that only liquid exits, only wastewater liquid exits the tank, goes through the drain field, which is the second component of the system, which allows that liquid effluent, we call it, to be distributed evenly. And then the soil is the third and really most important part of the septic system, which does most of the treatment. There's metabolism and digestion through that ecosystem of microorganisms in the soil.
Conventional septic tanks and drainage pipes or leach fields, which are gravity fed, are buried underground out of sight at a functional depth. So as a consequence, septic system owners, Taylor says, may not realize when their system is malfunctioning or broken.
And it is a common misconception that in some systems or in some environments, you don't have to pump the tank. Once it's installed, it's good to go, it's good for life. And that's generally not the case. That's universally not the case, I should say. So what occurs in even a properly designed and used, operated septic system is that you're going to have accumulation of solids, and those solids need to be periodically pumped or removed.
Septic tanks are furnished with exterior porch for tanker trucks to drop hoses into to pump out solids and clean out leach fields. Depending on the size of the tank, which can range from 800 to 1,500 gallons, the cost for clean-out is $300 to $800. Septic systems originally were molded concrete or metal, but have been upgraded to more durable plastic, Taylor says. Expensive, much more advanced systems are also sold.
A conventional pretreatment tank is going to be an anaerobic environment. It's sealed. The bacteria are anaerobic bacteria, which means they're really hardy, but they're not the most efficient at digestion. So one way to improve on that is to add a secondary tank, which is an aerobic environment, which is essentially a holding tank that has air injected into it. And there are a number of different designs. And what that does is it really churns it up and it oxygenates the environment, and it allows those aerobic bacteria to do a much more efficient job of treatment so that the water is much more pure, much more treated when it leaves the tank and goes into the drainage field.
Taylor warns septic tank owners to never dump kitchen waste, chemicals, grease, paints, even antibacterial soaps and cleaners down the drain, which can kill friendly tank bacteria that work to break down waste. Nor should toilet paper and feminine products be flushed. Human waste naturally decomposes in healthy septic systems, but some owners may flush packaged friendly bacteria and enzymes down the commode to improve the process.
Right. Yes, typically, from what we've been explained, what's been explained to us by the experts, is that is normally not necessary. Now, there may be some circumstances where you do need to help out the ecosystem, because what those things are supposed to do is provide reinforcements to your bacterial ecosystem. When everything's working properly, it's being fed and it's not being given the wrong things, then it doesn't need any help at all. And you can, in some circumstances, actually cause harm, depending on what the nature of the additive is.
One reason why the Illinois River Watershed Partnership has launched a septic remediation program is because a malfunctioning system can impair human health.
What happens when your septic system fails? You either smell the system failing, you see the drainage happening in the field, it could be backing up into your home. There are a number of things that could be an indicator, and we do have all of these listed on our website at irwp.org/septic.
Coliform bacteria and parasites in septic tank effluent can sicken both humans and pets. A malfunctioning septic system can also impair local ecosystems.
And once it's on top of the ground, that septic, that seepage, that effluent, can now be spread just like any other runoff into surface water, other water bodies, recharge zones for aquifers, and that kind of thing. The other thing that can happen with a saturated environment, instead of allowing the proper process to occur, which is to allow the septic to filter down through the soil, is it can be pushed out horizontally. And once it's pushed out horizontally, especially given the geology that we have in our area, then it can move beyond that area of soil that's been carefully chosen to properly filter the soil and move into a more open groundwater pathway and very easily be contributed to things like well water.
Taylor advises septic systems should be inspected every 1 to 3 years and pumped at least every 5 years.
What we know is that in Washington and Benton County, we have over 50,000 permitted septic systems. For a number of reasons, there are many more that are not permitted. And that doesn't mean that they're terrible systems. That just means that they either predated the permitting process or they were installed on larger land properties that at one point didn't require permitting. Or they are simply unknown. They were outside of any type of a regulated area when they were installed.
Septic system designers and installers are licensed to inspect septic systems and aid with any malfunction. Morgan Keeling says the Illinois River Watershed Partnership is on call to help as well with its new septic remediation program.
That is true. So we were able to secure funding that would allow folks to come in and either get loans or grants or a combination of both to cover the cost of repairing or replacing septic systems, which is a pilot program to the state. It's brand new, and it's a brand new opportunity, Jackie, for folks in the area to be able to jump on top of these septic issues that we believe are affecting water quality in our region.
Right. So the Illinois River Watershed and the Beaver Reservoir Watershed, this program is available in two different watersheds. And so we want to encourage anyone in those areas to reach out. Both are have impairments and fail to meet standards in a number of different categories, and that's why they are priority watersheds per the state. And some of those standards are phosphorus content, sulfur content, nitrates, and these are all things, fecal coliforms. These are all things that are directly associated with wastewater seepage.
Landholders can get a hold of Program Manager Matt Taylor directly about their septic systems by email at septic@irwp.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
The Arkansas Department of Transportation will re-inspect several bridges inspected originally by a now-fired bridge inspector who missed the crack on a beam on the I-40 bridge over the Mississippi connecting Arkansas and Tennessee. RDOT's webpage lists several other bridges that will be re-inspected by the end of June, including the Beaver Bridge in Carroll County and bridges over the Arkansas River on Highway 64 and Interstate 540 in Fort Smith. Beginning Monday, masks are optional for fully vaccinated people on the University of Arkansas campus. Masks and social distancing will still be required for unvaccinated people. The University of Arkansas reports more than 5,000 U of A employees have been vaccinated through coordinated efforts by the university earlier this year, and about 10,000 students have also been vaccinated. The Arkansas Razorback baseball team, ranked number one in the country, plays Florida again tonight at Baum Stadium. That after last night's 6-1 victory over the Gators. Van Buren and Rogers High School teams are the 5A and 6A baseball state champs after play yesterday. Among area teams seeking state titles today in Benton, the Pea Ridge and Bentonville softball teams, and the Springdale boys soccer team. Area athletes are the new Arkansas heptathlon and decathlon champions after action in the state track and field championships held yesterday in Fayetteville. Blakely Wynn of Pea Ridge won the heptathlon. Sam Hurley, a Fayetteville High School junior, won the decathlon.
KUAF is supported by Penguin Ed's BBQ, open for curbside pickup 7 days a week at the Mission and Crossover location in Fayetteville, and open 7 days a week with dine-in, patio, and curbside pickup at the historic B&B location. PenguinEds.com for menus and more.
This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from her home office in Bella Vista is Becca Martin-Brown, who is the features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Happy Friday.
Hey, the sun needs to come out because we have a lot to do. Tonight is the Cash Art Party debuting their Bentonville studio. So the day officially started at 9 o'clock. Kat Wilson, who is the studio's manager, is putting together a selfie throne for the event with the help of sculptor Griffin Loop, Fort Smith neon artist Derek Maxey, fiber artist Tricia Gooding, and projection mapping artist Rum Wolf. She says it's like Iron Chef, that they are getting the materials today and they're making a selfie throne.
Okay.
And then once you get there, there's going to be live music and all sorts of other things, including specialty cocktails and mocktails by Pink House Alchemy. So that starts at 6 and continues through midnight. The new studios are at 1004 Southeast 5th Street in Bentonville, and it's free. Then on Saturday, we're going to do some quieter things.
Okay.
You're going to go to downtown Rogers.
Easy enough.
To the Rogers Historical Museum and see the new exhibit that celebrates 140 years of Rogers history.
Beginning tomorrow.
Starting at 10 a.m., yes. Actually, there's two exhibits. There's a new photo exhibit that traces the 140 years of Rogers history from when the first Frisco train pulled into town until the winner of a photo contest that shows somebody standing in the completely empty lobby of the Malco Theaters in the middle of the pandemic. So you can see that, and then you can also see an exhibit called Rogers Founding Families that has some super cool artifacts as part of it. It's actually in two different buildings. It's in the beautiful new Haley building, and it's across the street in the Key Wing. So, you know, you could spend some time. And there's a really good Mexican restaurant right there, yes, too. And then you'll be all ready and prepared and psyched up for the Founders Day event in Rogers on June 5th.
Right.
When they're going to celebrate 140 years. They're going to have quilt shows and farm animals and historic craftsmen doing demonstrations, stagecoach rides, and the first of the new Butterfield Stage concert series in the new Rail Yard Park. So after you get done in Rogers, you see both exhibits, you go by and see the new Rail Yard Park because it's super cool. And then you go back to Fayetteville and you go to Art Ventures at their new home at 20 South Hill Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And you see their exhibit called Stasis and Change.
Jacqueline Froelich's report on this, it sounds very interesting. I need to get there.
It does sound really interesting. And if you've never been in that house, it is a beautiful turn-of-the-century house that was completely restored, and now it's their home, and it's worth it just to go see the house. But in the meantime, you can also see beautiful art by Jay McDonald and Cheryl Keller Kai Drakenberg and Lord Salverde and Zeke Taylor and John Rankin and Cheryl Buell. And they're open from noon to 6 on Saturday. Then, if you've called and if you can get tickets, you can mosey on south from Fayetteville to Fort Smith, where you can go to the Fort Smith Symphony's Film Score Festival concert.
Exactly.
And they have performances at 5 and 7:30. And the last time I checked, I think 7:30 was sold out, but 5 was still available. Tickets for that are $20 to $50. And again, showtimes are 5 and 7:30. Check at fortsmithsymphony.org to make sure that you can get a ticket. And then on Sunday, go back to Springdale because they are having an art reception from 1 to 4 at a place called Natural State Rockin' Republic. This is the 6.5 acres that used to be Magnolia Garden.
Okay, right.
And there's a reception from 1 to 4 on Sunday for the artists who are currently showing. Aaron Blight, who does, it's new media and printmaking, and it's super bright and super bold. David Gomez from Rogers, who's Mexican-born, and he works with oils and acrylics and spray paint, and his stuff is also bright and amazing. And then Lisa Blunt, who is a Springdale lady that people will know from the Art Center of the Ozarks, mm-hmm. and she has turned to photography. And that's from 1 to 4 on Sunday. It's free, artworks for sale, and you get to see another beautiful house. Oh, and there's two more.
Oh.
11 to 2 on Sunday, Orchard Park in Bentonville, Kite Together, an event that celebrates Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month by flying kites. And if you're on the north end of things, Opera in the Ozarks is having an alumni recital.
Right.
At 2:30 at Inspiration Point, and tickets to that are $20. So there is a gift of many wonderful things for your weekend.
Becca Martin Brown is features editor at the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette. She joins us almost every Friday to give us ideas of how to spend our time and not much of our money. Thank you, Becca.
That's the jazz group, the Yellow Jackets, in the background. And I'm Robert Ginsburg, your host for Shades of Jazz. We'll hear more from the Yellow Jackets as well as the Cookers, John Scofield, Catherine Russell, Jane Bunnett, and much more. Tune in every Friday and Saturday for Shades of Jazz right here on KUAF 91.3 FM.
Thanks for being with us for this Friday edition of Ozarks at Large. The pace of events throughout our region beginning to pick back up as we emerge from the pandemic. Live music beginning to return as well. Next week, Opal Agafia will have her first full band show of the year at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. Last week, Opal and her constant collaborator, Michael Shembri, stopped by our Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF to speak with Ozarks at Large's Timothy Dennis. They also gave us our first music from the performance studio since the beginning of the pandemic.
Hi, this is Opal Agafia. I'm here with Michael Shembri. We both play in my band, Opal Agafia and the Sweet Nothings. This is a song off my second album. It's called Up on Your Shelf.
Ooh, baby, baby, why you treat me all this way? Put me up on your shelf, don't let me down for days. You say that you love me and I know that it's true, but you don't shake me up like you used to do. Ooh, baby, baby, why you treat me this way? Put me up on your shelf, don't let me down for days. Used to be the appetizer and the dessert. Now I'm in the stew and your upper skirt. I guess I got used to how you called out my name, but your voice in my head won't always sound the same. Ooh, baby, baby, why you treat me this way? Put me up on your shelf, don't let me down for days. One day soon I'm gonna leave this place. You'll fill the cupboard, but you'll leave a small space. You're gonna miss all the flavors I made, and that taste on your lips when I'm gone it will stay. And you're gonna miss the way you called out my name, when that voice in your head don't always sound the same. Ooh, baby, baby, why you treat me this way? Put me up on your shelf, don't let me down for days. Ooh, baby, baby, why you treat me this way? Put me up on your shelf, don't let me down for days. One day soon I'm gonna leave this place. You'll fill the cupboard, but you'll leave a small space. 'Cause you're gonna miss all the flavors I made, and that taste on your lips when I'm gone it will stay. You're gonna miss the way you called out my name, when that voice in your head don't always sound the same. Ooh, baby, baby, why you treat me this way? Put me up on your shelf, don't let me down for days. Ooh, baby, baby, why you treat me all this way? Put me up on your shelf, don't let me down for days.
First of all, thank you all for coming in today. I really, really appreciate it. Y'all are the first performers Ozarks at Large have had in Furman Garner in more than a year. So thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yes. So y'all have been staying busy through the pandemic. You've started to play shows out. How has that gone? How has it been to play shows now that we're starting to get on the other side of all of this?
It's really great. You know, we were hungry to play and people are hungry to listen and dance and sing along. So it's like the best thing ever, you know? It's like having your favorite thing in the world taken and then you get it back and it's like you want to hold on to it forever. It's great. It's been so nice.
And this will actually be for Opal Agafia Band will be the first full band show actually of this year.
Yep,
is that
since
right?
October,
since,
yeah.
Since last October.
We really didn't play very often.
The shows that we have been doing are side stuff mainly. So this will be the first full band experience of the year for us.
Yep, so this is my first show of the year.
So with that being said, how much have you had to prepare? How much have you had to rehearse the whole band to get ready for this show?
You know, we're practicing quite a lot. Yeah. And because, you know, we got some new players that we're training up and we want to bring new stuff to you guys and
Yeah, first
4-hour rehearsal on Sunday.
First time ever, Mr. Garrett Jones. I don't know if you know him.
Yes, he's very popular.
Incredible bass
here.
Player from the area, plays with everyone, and he's going to be actually playing for his first show with us at George's.
Oh, that's yep. incredible.
Yeah, first really excited
show of the
to
year,
have him.
Awesome players. It's exciting.
So do y'all have anything else special planned for this show at George's later this month other than some new performers in the band?
Well, we have an opening act. Red Oak Ruse will be opening up for us. That's Michael's band.
Must have been really hard to book them as an opening
act. Was so hard. Yeah, no. No, they're great, and they just recorded an album, so it's going to be awesome to collaborate with them for this show. And we have a lot of mutual fans because we share a fiddle player, so it's going to be awesome.
And just from the rehearsal, I would say there's just a new fun energy happening with this lineup. And
yeah,
we've had a lot of lineups with this crew, and this feels really good, and the energy's really exciting, and I think it's just going to be a step up for the band. So just come and see the evolution.
Yeah.
A lot of people mention that and are always commenting how this band in particular is always growing and kind of sound reaching for new sounds. And I think this is just a continuation of that.
Totally. I'm actually going to reach back into some of my bluegrass chops from my first record, which we always play our songs, the songs that I write with my mom. But this time, you know, Garrett plays upright bass, so we're going to have a lot of upright bass. We're going to have a mandolin player. It's going to sound, I call my sound Ozark Mountain Soul, and that's really what it is. We got a little bit of bluegrass. We got a little bit of country, blues, rock and roll, and we're going to be able to deliver all those different sounds in one evening of music and by changing instrumentation and also just the covers are going to be great. Just going to put that out there. We're working on some cool covers, too.
Well, and it's funny. You mentioned, you know, you have folk, you have blues, you have rock and roll. And adding someone like Garrett Jones, I mean, you have a little bit of jazz in there, too.
Yeah,
so
totally.
So it's like you cover all the bases.
Yeah, he is. I have a song which I think, I can't remember which station plays it, but it is from KUAF. And it's a song that I recorded a long time ago, maybe in the studio here, but it's called Yard Sale Dress that they play, and it's kind of a country swing song, and it's got some jazz in there, and Garrett's just all over it. He's tearing it up, so I'm excited to see him play that song.
So other than the show coming up at George's later here in May, what else do you have on the horizon?
Well, we are playing Backwoods Music Festival in August, and then we will be playing in Lawrence, Kansas for the Crawl River Roots Festival that they have. We play right before the Traveling McCurries, which we're really excited about. And, we love Lawrence. My band hasn't played out of the state since before the pandemic.
Right.
So I'm really excited. Mostly, I've been writing a lot of new music and getting my band trained up on that and maybe hitting the studio this year. That's really my focus. And there's some other surprising stuff that I can't announce yet. So
Fair enough.
But, yeah, we've got some good stuff to look forward to, and working on a lot of new music. You know, the pandemic gave me time to really,
right.
And my mom has a slew of songs that I've been putting music and melody to. I'm really excited about that. That's what I'm mostly excited about, really, is just getting new songs out there.
You know? I can understand.
Or getting them in the studio and working on them.
New little song babies to get out in the world and do
work. Oh, yeah. It's exciting. It is.
Well, in the meantime, where can people find out more about you, more about your music? Where should they go until before this gig?
Okay, so you can get all my music, show dates, and stories at opalagafia.com.
All right.
I'm also on YouTube, but you can find everything that you really need on opalagafia.com.
Get all links back from there, I guess.
We're on Spotify, Instagram, yep. We're everywhere, but yep, the website's good. Here's my song called Old Ways of Living.
Been trying to pull it together for such a long, long time, but these old ways of living might house or slide. There's screams and shouting, echo of shackles and chains. It's a hell of a burden been your name? You listen to some truth. You're trading in the best for the dark side of the view. And oh, my darling, I love you just the same. But it's a hell of a burden being your name. Been trying to pull it together for such a long, long time. But there's always a lifting my cause us alive. There's screams and shouting, echo of shackles and chains. It's a hell of a burden, been your name.
Opal Agafia and Michael Chambry performing last week inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio at KUAF. Opal, Michael, and a full band will perform next Friday night, May 28th, at George's Majestic Lounge in Fayetteville. Doors are at 8:30 and Red Oak Ruse will open. You can find more about the show at georgesmajesticlounge.com, and you can find out more about Opal and her music at opalagafia.com. And keep an eye on KUAF and Ozarks at Large's social media accounts. Next week, we'll have video from Opal and Michael's session here at the Carver Center for Public Radio that you can watch.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Support for KUAF comes from Westwood Gardens, a family-owned garden center with four locations in Northwest Arkansas. Westwood plants are grown locally and offer a variety of annuals, perennials, hanging baskets, and more. In-store shopping is available at all four Northwest Arkansas locations and online with curbside pickup at westwoodgardens.com.
Quick reminder, the NPR Tiny Desk contest is underway. If you're an unsigned musician or part of an unsigned band, you can submit your video behind a desk, of course. You can learn more and read the rules for submission at npr.org/tinydeskcontest. Another reminder, several vaccination opportunities in the area over the next few days. Bella Vista Fire Department hosting a Pfizer vaccine clinic at the Bella Vista Farmers Market Sunday from 9 until 2. That's at 606 West Lancashire Boulevard. Vaccinations open to anybody 12 and older. Parental consent required for anyone under the age of 16. Second shots given to those who've had at least 21 days since their first Pfizer shot. Tuesday, a Pfizer clinic at Northwest Arkansas Community College in the Student Center in Bentonville. That's Tuesday from 8 until 1. There is a hotline to help you schedule a vaccination if you'd like, 800-985-6030. That works for anybody in Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, and Logap. Contributors today included Antoinette Grajeda, Timothy Dennis, and Jacqueline Froelich. Timothy also produced today's show. Our thanks to Michael Tilley from Talk Business and Politics and Becca Martin Brown from the Northwest Arkansas Democrat Gazette for being on our show today. We have a show Sunday morning at 9, weekend Ozarks at Large, and we will return Monday at noon with a new week of daily shows. From the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks for listening.